this month. Little did she know that her prayer would be answered the very next day. Kostur then explained something equally astonishing. They were never even meant to come to Edgware that day. Not only that, they had been walking toward another exit of the mall, but at the very last moment, something prompted them to walk out through the very entrance where we were standing with the books. Utterly inspired, Kostur accepted a Bhagavad Gita, a Krishna book, and a Saptarshi set, while Pramila went straight for a Srimad Bhagavatam set, both donating generously. They will share the books, read together, and then pass them on for their family to read. It was clear to all of us that this was no ordinary meeting. It was divine intervention. Lord Krishna simply asks for a sincere desire to serve him, and then he orchestrates the rest, arranging meetings, opening hearts, and showering his mercy. Beginning in 2 days, the sacred month of Kartik is when Krishna is especially accessible and easily pleased. Let us all desperately desire his love. Who knows what transcendental magic he may manifest in our lives when we simply seek him with all our heart. Jai. Kartik month ki jai. Hare Krishna. All glories to the book distributors of the Lord. So here are the devotees who sponsored the ghee lights today. Adwaita Charya and Shard Bihari, Anita and Vijay Police, Jagat Karuna, Kamniya Krishna and Kamala, Pratibha Sharma, Shorya Sharma, and Ananda Krishna Devidasi for her granddaughter's birthday. So thank you very much to them. Anyone can have the blessing of sponsoring the lights, and you just can go to our website to do that. It's quite easy. I misplaced my blue folder, my precious blue folder. If anyone noticed it, I think I might have left it at the temple somehow. Just let me know if you happen to spot a shiny plastic blue. Oh, my God. This is what I'm talking about. Krishna just immediately. Thank you. Thank you, Prakashar. Where did you sit watching it? Where did I leave it? Okay. It was right there. Okay. Thank you guys so much. Goody. I feel whole again. Okay. Here's what's happening. Obviously, Kartik month. So every morning you come, and you can come again in the evening at 6:30. Gopi Gita will be chanted at 7. And then after that, there may be kirtan in the temple room going right through till closing time. So there's something for everyone every day of the month of Kartik. And just consider doing something special. Make a vrata, chant extra rounds, read more, associate more, give donation to the temple. We have great projects happening right now. We're trying to finish building the Nisringa temple. We're going to buy a new tent, that giant rainbow color tent that we use for Village of Vrindavan and Festival of the Holy Name and Janmashtami. It's kaput, 30 years old. It did its duty, so we have to buy a new one, and that's about $20,000. So you can make a contribution for that. There's a GoFundMe for that, and you'll see the links in the newsletter that's coming out today. A lot of things you can do, and remember, everything you give is multiplied 1,000 times. So this is a good investment right now. The Eco Farm Fall Festival is happening Saturday, this Saturday, 10 to 4. Everyone is welcome. Activities for children, workshops for adults, very interesting things going on. Great prasadam. So please plan to come out. You won't be sorry. The UF Homecoming Parade, or Gainesville Rath Yatra, is on Friday, October 17th. So mark your calendars. This is a great month to go on Harinam. If you don't usually go, but you would like to go, this would be a great time to do it because your seva is multiplied, and it's such a wonderful parade. The people in this county love us, most of them. So, there are 100,000 of them lining the streets, and it's really, really ecstatic. So try to come up for that. 11:30 a.m., get over to Krishna House on the 17th of October. Govardhan Puja, I've been saying the wrong day. Please forgive me. I know not what I do. It's the 26th of this month, so we were equivocating on the date, and we settled on the 26th, because sometimes we do it before the actual day, sometimes after, but anyway, 26th. The day before is Prabhupada's disappearance day, so what we're going to do is, they'll be in the newsletter, we'll have the program in the morning like we always do. There's something special happening on this year, Prabhupada's disappearance day, and all of Prabhupada's disciples, please plan to come that morning of his disappearance day. It's a Saturday, so no excuses. I'll tell you when I'm close to you, Mom, so you can hear me. And there's something special. And then what we'll do after the Artik, we'll serve lunch and the Mahaprasad that everyone has made to please Prabhupada for his offerings. But then we'll have the feast the next day, because I cannot cook a huge feast one day and then a huge feast for Govardhan Puja the next day. So we're just going to have the big feast for Prabhupada the next day and a big lunch and Mahaprasadam for Prabhupada on the day of. It'll all be in the newsletter. Don't try to follow what I'm saying. It's too hard. Okay. Here are the devotees who assisted their spiritual master addressing the deities today. Shishi Radhasham Sundar, Bhranti Devi Dasi, Chota Radhasham Sundar, Sharala Devi Dasi, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Astasaki Devi Dasi, Chota Krishna Balaram, Leela Devi Dasi, Sri Sri Gornatai Guru Prasad Devi Dasi, Chota Gornatai, Shalagram Devi Dasi, Gurus Lorna Sringadev, Ram Narayan Das, and Ananta Gauranga Prabhu is giving class today. Hari Bol.
Hari Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. J Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Shyam Sundara Radhe. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Shyam Sundara Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Gaur Premanandi. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya. Asto Tarasata Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Kartik Mas Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the third canto, chapter 19. We're reading texts 18 to 22, and text 22 is where Srila Prabhupada's purport is. So we will do the call and response for text 22, and I'll just read text 18 to 21. Text 18. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner, as if thrown by machine guns. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast with masses of clouds, which were accompanied by lightning and thunder. The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. O sinless Vidura, mountains discharged weapons of various kinds, and naked demonesses armed with tridents appeared with their hair hanging loose. Text 21. Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffian yakshas and rakshasas, who all either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots. So this description, if you are just now coming to the lecture, is Hiranyaksha's magical, mystic performances in his attempt to defeat Lord Varahadev. All of these horrible images and personalities and various intense weather, it's mentioned, cruel slogans. So all of these things are Hiranyaksha's attempts to conquer the Lord. And text 22, we get to hear the Lord's response. So please repeat. Praduskritanam mayanam. Praduskritanam mayanam. Asurinam vinashayat. Asurinam vinashayat. Sudarshanashtram Bhagavan. Sudarshanashtram Bhagavan. Prayunkta dayitang tripat. Prayungta dayitang tripat. Please chant. Prayungta dayitang tripat. Pradiskritanam mayanam. Asurinam vinashayat. Sudarshanashram bhagavan. Prayungta dayitang tripat. Rajaskritanam mayanam asurinam vinashayat sudarshanashtram bhagavan ayunta daitam tripat Rajaskritanam mayanam Asurinam vinashayat Sudarshanashtram bhagavan Prayungta daitam tripat Asurinam vinashayat Sudarshanashtram Bhagavan Prayungta Daitam Tripat Pradiskritanam Mayanam Asurinam Vinashayat Sudarshanastram Bhagavan Prayungta Daitam Tripat Pradiskritanam Displayed Mayanam The magical forces Asurinam Displayed by the demon Vinashayat Desiring to destroy. Sudarshana Astram. The Sudarshan weapon. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prayungta. Through. Daitam. Beloved. Tripat. The enjoyer of all sacrifices. Translation. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. Please repeat. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Even famous yogis and demons can sometimes enact very magical feats by their mystic power. But in the presence of the Sudarshan Chakra, when it is let loose by the Lord, all such magical jugglery is dispersed. The instance of the quarrel between Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish is a practical example in this matter. Durvasa Muni wanted to display many magical wonders, but when the Sudarshan Chakra appeared, Durvasa himself was afraid and fled to various planets for his personal protection. The Lord is described here as Tripat, which means that he is the enjoyer of three kinds of sacrifices. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord confirms that he is the beneficiary and enjoyer of all sacrifices, penances, and austerities. The Lord is the enjoyer of three kinds of yajna, as further described in Bhagavad Gita. There are sacrifices of goods, sacrifices of meditation, and sacrifices of philosophical speculation. Those on the paths of jnana, yoga, and karma all have to come in the end to the Supreme Lord, because Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate enjoyer of everything. That is the perfection of all sacrifice. Om Jnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatya Deshatarine Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada starts the purport, as always, by highlighting the contrast. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam in this pastime is establishing completely and wholly the supremacy of the Lord by way of his pastimes and interactions with his devotees. And in this instance, Hiranyaksha, the demon, is displaying magical feats and mystic powers, which Prabhupada speaks about. Even famous yogis can also sometimes enact. The attraction of mystic power is that somehow I will be able to fulfill my desires. This tendency is the demonic tendency. Hiranyaksha is exhibiting this. Both him and his brother are the embodiments of this mentality, that by my own power, I will achieve all that I desire. And the greatest demons, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, their desire is to conquer over the Lord. So these first verses are quite graphic. It's a very, you could say, horrifying image. And the first thing that I thought was, if I was speaking to a group of people who weren't familiar with our philosophy, what would I say? But then I also thought that we are now in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so if they study Bhagavatam when they get here, they'll be fine. But also that even though, yes, it's very horrifying, I think we can also look at our life and notice where we maybe did something that we feel not so great about. The demonic tendency to be very selfish, the demonic tendency to lord it over the material energy. Of course, this is very graphic, and you know, you would probably never see something like this in your life. But Hiranyaksha's mood, why is he manifesting all of these horrible things? It's because of his envy of the Lord. So, of course, we don't have the capability of fierce winds and mountains and volleys of stones, but I thought it was interesting that the last verse, cruel and savage slogans were uttered. That's a little bit more relatable. Yeah. We see now in America, we have this surcharged political environment, which absolutely spills into our devotee community as well. I saw that you voted for that person, you voted for this person. I'm not talking about politics, I'm just saying the tendency to speak cruelly, the tendency to savage slogans, this is the demonic tendency. And these pastimes are so multifaceted, they have so many details, they cover so many angles, that we can see this Hiranyaksha tendency, this Hiranyakashipu tendency, to desire to be very comfortable in the material world. So much so that that's what his name means. You can imagine. Soft bed, gold soft bed, to be comfortable in the material world. And so much so that he went to great lengths, endeavors that we can't even conceive, just to be comfortable in the material world. Of course, it was on a grand scale to conquer over the universe, to rule over the heavenly planets. But our fortune in being educated in our Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage, we can see it for what it is, that even if it's the whole universe, the goal is still the same, to be comfortable in the material world and to exist separately from Krishna. Even though the demons try time and time again to conquer over the Lord, they fail where the devotees always succeed. So I wanted to speak about that today, especially because we're now starting Kartik Mas, which is this auspicious month, most auspicious month, the most auspicious month, in which Krishna becomes more accessible than he is at any other time. Prabhupada begins this purport by speaking about the instance of Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish to highlight or illustrate that the failure of the achievement of mystic cities or mystic powers. As we all know, Durvasa Muni approached Maharaj Ambarish and of course became very angry as a result of their interaction. Maharaj Ambarish was completing his fast. And because of his offense, Lord Vishnu sent his Sudarshan Chakra. And Prabhupada is highlighting, just see the Lord's power to dispel any kind of magical jugglery, he says. It's dispersed. And when Durvasa Muni approached the Lord, he said, I made a mistake. You please take back your Sudarshan Chakra. Please forgive me. And the Lord was responding, I'm sorry, but I can't help you, because I'm completely controlled by my devotees. I just went and read through that section just to freshen my recollection of that pastime. And that's the first thing, actually, that the Lord says. The first thing that he says is, I am controlled by my devotees, so you'll have to go back the other way to Maharaj Ambarish. He says, I'm controlled by my devotees because even though I have everything, I don't desire to enjoy it unless it's with my devotees. And why? Because I have everything, but I can't, because I have everything, I can't give anything up. It all belongs to me. It all is emanating from me. So Krishna can't give it up. But my devotees, they give up everything to surrender unto me. Therefore, I'm indebted to them, just like Sudama Brahman. When he gave Krishna this bag of flat rice that he had collected from the village, Krishna said, it wasn't even that it was his. He actually went and collected it for me. So therefore, this gift of flat rice is greater than anything I could give him. Because I own everything. I can't go and collect from someone else because it's also mine. But Sudama, he went and outside of his capability, outside of what he was had in his possession in order to please me. What I thought was interesting in that exchange also is that sometimes God is described as a domineering God. Everyone must bow down to me. Everyone should come to me for repentance. Everybody should come to me to beg for my goodwill. Otherwise, they'll be cursed forever. This is explained in some traditions. But when Durvasamuni approached the Lord, he said, I can't help you. Because the Lord is self-satisfied. It's not that he needed Durvasamuni to come and beg forgiveness. He said, no, actually, it's my devotee. And I was thinking about in this pastime that how can you conquer the Lord who is not only unconquerable, but he's also self-satisfied. Sometimes someone who's unconquerable, you can get to them if you have something that they want. Maybe money, praise, glory. We see that amongst the leadership in our country, that you can, if you give some money or say some nice words, oh yeah, okay, now I feel very favorable towards you. So the demons are like that. They have that mentality. Oh, great Brahma, let me please you with my prayers so I can get what I want. Like Vrikasura. He was worshiping Lord Shiva. And he said, Lord Shiva, you're my master. I'm your surrendered servant. I'll do anything for you, even offer my own flesh from my body. And he was offering into the fire his own body parts. Also very horrifying. And you might say, wow, what a display of devotion to sacrifice your own body. Isn't that also in our scripture? You could argue, no? Atmanivedanam, right? We could say, offer everything to Krishna. What's the difference, you know, between, the obvious cutting your body with a knife? You don't have to do that. But the difference is that it's for his own sake. I am doing this so... And then you could see his selfishness in the end. Immediately he said, of course he was given the power. Lord Shiva said, please stop cutting yourself. Please stop doing this. I'll give you what you desire. And what did he say? I would like the power that whoever's head that I touch, it'll explode. What kind of mentality is that? You think, I would like to be comfortable, let me have a nice house, you know, let me have a nice family, you know, something normal. I want to explode somebody's head. Wow, what a demon. And then, that was not even all, right? Then he said, you know, you told me that you gave me this power, but maybe you tricked me. I don't believe you. So let me try it on you. Horrible mentality. What a person. And because Lord Shiva had given that power, he said, I can't take it back. So he had to run away. And he was chasing him all over the universe. So this is the demonic mentality that I will endeavor, but at the end of the day, it's only for my own satisfaction. And this type of endeavor doesn't reach Krishna's heart. When Vrikasura, Lord Shiva finally came to the Lord and he said, please, I made a mistake. I gave this boon and now I'm in trouble and the whole universe is in trouble. This has happened before. Lord Brahma is also in the same position. with Hiranyakashipu, I did it again. I gave this boon to a demon. And so the Lord took on the form of a beautiful Brahmin boy. I'm not sure, was it Vamanadeva? Or it was just a young boy? You can say, because it was the Lord. So beautiful Vamanadeva, beautiful Brahmin boy. And he was so charming that Rikasura stopped. Hey, little boy, you're so cute. I saw Lord Shiva, did you see him? I need to speak to him. I'm trying to find him. And he said, you've been running all over the universe looking for Lord Shiva. Why? You're so you look tired, you should stay here and rest. Take a break. And then when your energy is up again, then you'll catch him for sure. Now you can't catch him because you're tired, that's all. Yeah, that's a good point, you're right, I'll rest here. And he said, so what happened? Why are you chasing him? Oh, he gave me this power that whoever's head I touch, it'll explode, so I want to try it on him. And Lord Vishnu said, you sure that he gave you that power? Lord Shiva, you know, he hangs out with questionable people, ghosts and ghouls. And I heard that he hangs out in the cemeteries. Someone like that, I don't think is very trustworthy. Probably it's not real. Hey? No, definitely it's real. It's definitely real. I don't know. I don't think so. So he went on like this until he said, probably if you touch your own head, nothing will happen. It's not real. The Lord is so amazing. These pastimes are so charming. No, it's definitely real. No, I don't think so. Look, you touch your head, nothing will happen. And of course, he touched his own head. And so why did the Lord help Lord Shiva? There are so many beautiful prayers Lord Shiva offered to the Lord. Lord Shiva is, of course, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the greatest of devotees. This is how the Lord is conquered. And in this month of Kartik, this is the message. I'm conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. The Lord says in these beautiful, it's made clear in these beautiful prayers in Dhammadharastakam that we are now going to be singing every day. This is the way to conquer the unconquerable Supreme Lord. It's not by our own power. It's not by our willpower. It's not by, as mentioned here, the accumulation of pious credits or the performance of various austerities. It is by the loving devotional service to him and to his devotees that we hear so much about. Sometimes it's difficult to connect. We're so used to performing. That's the philosophy and the culture of the material world. Go, 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 go. And if you look out in the world, you see that it's all externally oriented. If I am successful in the world, if I'm successful in my career, if I'm successful in whatever sphere of life I feel most influenced by or attached to, then I will be successful in my eyes, and even it can be that in that way I'll be successful in the eyes of the Lord. It's normal in our conditioned state, not in our eternal state. So the month of Kartik is where, like I mentioned earlier, we hear the Lord is the most accessible. And so it's a most favorable time in which the devotees make extra effort to please the Lord because he is so easily pleased. But extra effort doesn't necessarily mean just that I perform more and more austerities. It is more so that I am performing whatever austerities I'm performing so that there's more favorable opportunity to perform devotional service to please the Lord. So devotees like to chant extra rounds, rise earlier in the morning, perform more kinds of service at the temple or in their community, whatever is the setup. And then also there are other types, like, you know, some devotees do not eating sweets or some kind of limiting, maybe not on my phone. Some devotees do that, no social media. And the benefit of these is not just that I'm not doing these things, it's that I am not doing these things that take up my time, which I could be spending doing some service for Krishna. What it does really is it creates a space in the heart. All of our activities in the material world, they are not free. Everything has a cost to our mind, to our body, and to our heart. The heart space can become full by our activities in the material world. The mind, we definitely know, every time we sit down to chant japa, that our activities in the world busy the mind and it becomes so full that we can't focus. So this Kartik month is that opportunity to free up space in our mind, free up the space in our heart by limiting things that maybe we don't need to do so much, that are not so important. And even just the environment, the atmosphere, all the excitement you can feel that the devotees, it's palpable during this month, creates that impetus, let me also do something more for Krishna. In a way, it's an opportunity also to reset. If you have been struggling in your spiritual life or in your personal life or in your community, this month is an opportunity to really dive deep. Not just dive deep in the classic ISKCON, dive deep, Prabhu. It means Krishna is closer than ever. That's what it really means. That whatever effort, Krishna says, whatever, even if you do something so simple, like offering a candle to me. There's a beautiful verse in one Purana. My brother sent it to me. I can share it with you after, but I don't remember it, but I have it. That the Lord says, if you offer just that candle to me, your eternal destination is guaranteed. So it's something so simple. Krishna is, I'm ready, in the month of Kartik, I'm ready, I'm waiting. So I wanted to share, I just looked and compiled a couple of things that I had looked for in regard to what are some things that can be done during Kartik month. There are some devotees, of course, many of you who have already decided on what your vrata would be, your vow, your sankalpa for this month. And there are also devotees who are not sure yet. They're trying to figure out, what can I do? So that's why I wanted to share some of these things. These are from His Holiness Sachinandan Swami's first Kartik meditation, or the introduction, where he shares four auspicious activities that are done during Kartik time that any devotee can do, or maybe all devotees should do, in addition, whatever they would like to add after that. So the first is offering the ghee lamp, which, of course, we do here twice a day at the temple. So that's something that's very easy. You can just come, offer the lamp to the Radhe Shyam. Many devotees offer at home as well. The second is singing the Dhammadrastakam. So it's not just like our culture. Oh, we sing it during this month. No, it's especially auspicious to sing Dhammadrastakam during this month because it's the month of Dhammadhar. And this Dhammadhar Leela is Krishna showing that I am conquered by the love of my devotees. This is the whole pastime. Mother Yashoda is capturing Krishna, who is unable to be captured. Nobody can capture Krishna, but Mother Yashoda did. The great demon Hiranyaksha, with all his power in the world, his attempt to the Lord felt like playing with a child. But when Mother Yashoda bound Krishna, he couldn't move. So this Leela is beautifully described in this song, this ashtakam, and therefore chanting this ashtakam every day is a crucial and also very wonderful part of this Kartik Vrata. It's not just a song, it has that deep import. And so by singing this song daily, not only do we become more privy to that, to the Lord's nature, which is important. If we want to love Krishna, we should understand how to love Krishna. What makes Krishna feel loved? How does Krishna, in which way does Krishna reciprocate? We should understand that. Not just that we perform robotically devotional service. So this beautiful ashtakam is explaining how Mother Yashoda captured Krishna. We do it here in our temple in the morning and in the evening. So if you work and you can't make it in the morning, or if you can't make it in the evening either, you can make one or the other. The other is to serve Tulsi Maharani. This whole Kartik month is also very Vrindavan-centric, that it's all about Krishna and Vrindavan, with Mother Yashoda and Cowherd Boys and Nanda Maharaj. And in Vrindavan is where you can see that the Kartik month is celebrated the most. It's a big, big festival. And so Tulsi Devi is the guardian of Vrindavan Dham, as we hear in the song that we sing. And so worship of Tulsi Maharani is also recommended during Kartik time. That can be offering, just like we do in the aarti, you can offer some water to Tulsi, you can attend the Tulsi Puja, the temple. That's as far as I know in terms of serving Tulsi Maharani. There's, I'm sure, others, but I didn't know. So that's what I know for sure. And then the fourth is rising early. This is something we do all year, but especially during Kartik time, because Krishna is especially favorable to his devotees, then he is even more accessible in the early morning where there's less distraction and the environment is more auspicious for chanting, reading, offering prayers, meditating upon the Lord. So those were the four mentioned there. And then in terms of here in our Alatra community, I wanted to end on two things. One is, in terms of here in our temple, we have, of course, the morning program, the morning lecture, the evening program with the Damodar Astakam and the Gopi Gita, which is also recommended to be sung during Kartik time, any kind of auspicious prayers, but Gopi Gita is especially mentioned. So I think it's at 7 o'clock every evening. So if you would like to be a part of that, you can attend at 7 o'clock. Then after Damodar Astakam, there's going to be kirtan every evening. So some devotees have made it their vrata to do kirtan for Radhisham every evening. So if you have free time, that's usually like 7:45 until 9:15, the last darshan. Then always Krishna is accessible through his devotees first, primarily, most significantly. And in our community where there are so many devotees, try to find another devotee to do your Kartik with. It can either be here at the temple where there's so many devotees every day. It can be in your neighborhood. So many of us live next to devotees. Myself, I have a japa partner. Me and him, we at the end of the day, we talk about our rounds. Very simple, but it's very powerful. It feels Krishna conscious. Highly recommended. Sometimes the tendency in our devotional service is to want to do it alone, very austere. And that's, yes, of course it's private, but there's wonderful, wonderful wealth in performing, maybe not all of your vratas, you have to share with everyone, but in some to share with another devotee or other devotees. It feels very encouraging, like you have the support. And also, you'll get the blessings of the devotees as well. So I wanted to stop there, and if there are questions or comments, but also I wanted to, because there are so many sadhus at the temple here, if anybody wanted to share what inspires them, not if anybody wanted to, I'm asking if you would, share what you do in Kartik. Many devotees here have been, now that's their 40th, 50th, or 60th Kartik. So there's a lot of deep realization. So I would like to ask that as well, maybe after the questions. Or instead of the questions, whatever.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a very nice class. We have a question. In the verse, it says like Krishna's beloved Sudarshan Chakra is released to destroy the demon and what's happening there. And you also mentioned very much how in Kali Yuga those demoniac tendencies exist within us, right? Like we are all in one body in this yuga. So I'm just wondering. Like, when I saw that in the verse, it was very powerful. Like, yes, Krishna's showing up to annihilate the demons with the demoniac tendencies and protect the devotees. We are somehow existing in one body. So in Kali Yuga, what does that look like? Is it the holy name? Is that how he's showing up to destroy the demoniac tendencies? You know, if you can maybe speak to this a bit.
Mm. What is it in the Bhagavatam? It's the one of the questions from the sages of Naimisharanya. They ask the Lord, how will the devotees know you in the darkness? Or the torchlight of knowledge. I'm trying to remember this verse. It's one of the main questions. How will the people at large... Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how Krishna is cutting the demonic tendency in Kali Yuga. The sword of knowledge is cutting the hard knots in the heart. This is the way for devotees to understand. Some devotees feel, if I have a demonic tendency, is Krishna wanting to destroy something in me? Does that mean they'll create some kind of tension between me and the Lord? But the Lord is coming through Srimad Bhagavatam with the sword of knowledge. That is cutting those demonic tendencies in the heart. Yes, the answer.
The question was Dharma Karma Sharanam Gata. Bruhi Yogeshare Krishna Brahmani. Yeah, that's where is Dharma Karma Sharanam? Where is Dharma taken shelter of? Dharma kam sharanam gata. Where you can find Dharma in this Kali Yuga? Bruhi Yogeshwari Krishna Brahmanye Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam. I don't know the exact translation. You can find it. It's the I don't know the exact translation. It's where has religion taken shelter of in this Kali Yuga?
In the Vedic scriptures.
It's the very end of the first chapter.
Yeah.
Between one or two verses.
Between one or two verses.
21, 22, 23. I know in my life, the answer to this question, when I was younger, I was very demoniac. I was following the Jagai Madai Sampradaya. And when I finally realized that, okay, this is not, you know, the way to live, I prayed to the Lord, please punish me, correct me, clear, you know, do something to me to wake me up, something harsh. And the result is I'm in a devotee, and my life's been wonderful ever since. So the phrase, killing with kindness, my spiritual master would be so kind to me that I didn't deserve. Krishna gave me so much mercy, I didn't deserve. And And so that forced out, I said, I have to be a better person. I have to give up these bad qualities because he's treating me in a way that he shouldn't be. Krishna's being kind to me, and he should be punishing me, and he's not. He's being kind to me, so I have to give these things up. So then those demonic tendencies are pushed out, are flushed out. I think it's the same thing with Parinibbana. It's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Nityananda said, you can't kill Jagat Mata, you kill everyone on the planet. You have to deliver them.
Mm.
And so it's this killing with his kindness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was also thinking is in Gaura Lila, this answer that, yeah, you'll have to kill everyone. Everyone has that tendency in Kali Yuga. So you have to deliver them, to liberate them. And this pastime, even though we've heard it so often, this Jagai and Marai pastime there's more and more and more layers uncovering as we progress in our own spiritual life and look at our own failings and our own shortcomings and see that the Lord is always there, always, always waiting for us to turn to Him. And then He responds by cleaning out the dirty things in the heart. Also in Harinam Chintamani, it's mentioned that the Holy Name is eagerly waiting to clean the heart. Let me in, let me in, let me in. So that is the killing that's taking place in Kali Yuga.
About Sudarshan Chakra, also in the purport you read, there's the fruits of goods, fruits of philosophy, no, fruits of knowledge and fruits of philosophical speculation. The way Prabhupada put it is very sophisticated. I don't know if everybody catch it. It means karma, jnana, and yoga, and bhakti. So it's very interesting. Now back to this, I will first address. In Haridas Thakur's conversation and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sivasangan, that when someone chant under guidance, Sudarshan Chakra is present at that time, that devotee, wow, while he is chanting. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in front of everyone, Tumi bhalo chintile na karo moi bal, tuma lagi mora chakra hoilo bifal. This chakra is Sudarshan Chakra, he's talking. So long devotees are progressing, but if they don't look down or criticize others, then they will destroy all their demonic nature inside. But I may be chanting, but I don't care about another devotee or making other devotee to feel, you know, like anger towards me. I cannot destroy this material desire. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, because many, if you look at Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's commentary on that, I don't recall breathing as it is, but what I grasp, Krishna in mind. Whenever we see any devotee doing any service, we should appreciate. If not, at least do not feel like a look down or criticize or don't. Because you are chanting, you're piling up some cash, but your debit card is going, you know, making zero in the account. So what do you get after 10 years chanting? You still feel like I'm not advancing, or maybe go back to material life for a few years and then come back. It really satisfied me after reading for a whole chapter on this Haridas Thakur's karma, that the root cause of devotee's suffering is not coming from previous karma. See, there is a reaction, an intention, an impression. They are not same. Impression carries from life after life to enjoy separately from God. But reaction can be destroyed by holy name, Kartik, they will destroy, no problem. These are all true, we have to trust, believe that sin will be destroyed. But impression is not destroyed. Impression destroy when we cry, when we are desperate, my Lord, please give me mercy. But if I'm criticizing a devotee and I think the Lord will give me mercy, it's never going to happen. It's very is a fine line in that. Mm. And I see within me when it changes, when you see the view. Doesn't matter, even if some devotee does something wrong, pray for that or you know, three reasons Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you can hear the criticism or abuse, accusation or whatever it is. If you don't want to see that person suffer because you love that person, your friend or whoever it is, that you never want to see that devotee suffer, then you can get involved hearing criticism or talk about it. If you have an audience, the, you know, family, friend, or whoever your audience is, you want to give them an impression that, look, there is a deadly danger what that person is doing. And you see 10 years from now, that person will be still struggling, even though he's chanting, he or she. Because the material desire comes from where? Where material desire come from? Where did Joy Bijoy got the material desire? From the curse of the four Kumaras. Displeasing devotee is the root cause of all this problem for a devotee's life. If we are guarding ourselves not to cause offense to another devotee, then path will be clear. Everything, as you said, four things for Kartiprata, everything will be there. All the result will come. But we have to guard ourselves. Understand? Sorry, taking a long time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your nice class, your nice realization. I like the point where you said, your Guru Maharaj said, for during Kartik, we chant the Dhammadharastika, we offer candle. What was the other two?
Serving Tulsi Maharani and rising early in the morning. Mm.
You know, I was just thinking, Krishna consciousness is actually very simple. Prabhupada said, follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. And you're saying, you know, what should be your vow for this Kartik? I find every year I'm struggling to chant better japa, you know, to become purer in my habits. And sometimes my mind is telling me, oh, you need to do something beyond that, you know, like you said, give up sweets, doing that. But every year I think if I could focus and get my japa done with a better consciousness, if I could just raise that. And because I'm always focusing on that, I never think of, I should give up sweets, or I said, it's austere enough, you know, in that sense. And one time in Vrindavan, we were living in Vrindavan for a few years, and my husband said, let's chant, you know, 64 rounds every day and eat once a day. And we had a small daughter then, and I thought, oh, this is too difficult. He said, let's just try it. So we start doing it, and the first day, of course, it was difficult. By the end of Kartik, the 64 months, oh my God, it was such an incredible experience. And I was so sorry that it ended. And then my husband said something, well, it doesn't have to end, we can continue. But it didn't happen. but it's an amazing experience, so much stuff that it's like you're in the material world, but when you take a spiritual vow like that, it just take you to a whole different level. And all these years I've been away from Vrindavan, almost 20 years, I always pray that I can get that experience and that desire again to do that. I couldn't think about eating or sleeping. I just want to get those rounds done. And somehow or other, I think we had khichdi for the whole month. And it was just, when I think of that, Krishna consciousness is so beautiful and so wonderful. If we could just follow this process that Prabhupada gave us. We don't have to do anything extra. Just make sure the rounds are very good. We're pure in our habits. We don't eat, you know, you don't have to eat in Vrindavan. You don't have to worry about eating outside. And of course, you have to get up early. And you know, and Prabhupada set up the program that we can come and offer candles and sing the prayers. So when you said that, I was just saying, we're just always repeating what Prabhupada said, but we're looking for something different sometimes, that we have to do something more austere. But if we can just follow that with pure habits, you know, I think we all can go back to Godhead and help one another.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So I think we are out of time. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Kartik Mas Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.